This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دع الأيام تفعل ما تشاء وطب نفسا إذا حكم القضاء ولا تجزع لحادثة الليالي فما لحوادث الدنيا بقاء.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who raised the heavens and created the creation. He spread forth the earth and beautified it with vegetation, and He gave us the cycle of the night and day in perfect alternation. It is His religion that unites all of mankind, the black and the white, without discrimination. Allah azza wa jal sent down the Quran, His speech and revelation, and He sent to us a prophet in whose belief is our salvation. So it is Allah and Allah alone we worship and bow our heads to in prostration. As to what follows, realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us to be conscious of Him when He says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Dear Muslims, most of us are aware in the beautiful incident of Tabuk, three companions remained behind, and one of them, the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, is well known to all of us. Allah revealed Quran about him, that Allah eventually forgave him. It is mentioned that when the caravan had exited Medina, the Prophet ﷺ looked around and he said, "Where is Ka'b ibn Malik? I don't see him." One of the Ansar said sarcastically, "Ya Rasulullah, he is engrossed in his women and his gardens." Meaning that this dunya seduced him, and he didn't go for the expedition because of his love of this world. So he made a passing comment. Immediately Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, "Bi'sa ma qult." What a bad thing that you have said. "Fawallahi, I have known nothing from Ka'b except good until now." He defended Ka'b, even though ironically at that time the accusation had an element of truth. Later on we find out. But Mu'adh, being the scholar that he is, our Prophet ﷺ said, Mu'adh is the leader of the scholars of this ummah. And Mu'adh is the most knowledgeable of halal and haram. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, being who he is, and that's why he is who he is, he understood that one of the principles of our religion is that we think the best thoughts of everybody. We don't read in the worst, we think the best. And this concept is called husn al-dhan, or thinking the best, having positive thoughts of our brothers and sisters in Islam. And it is a fundamental core of our identity of Islamic akhlaq. Sadly, with the rise of the internet and social media and Facebook, with WhatsApp groups and telephone calls, sadly, the cultural norm in our times is that we always read in the worst, and we spread gossip about each and every person in our society, in our circle of friends. Frankly, there's hardly a gathering that any of us attends except that somebody is mentioned, vague issues are brought up, and then he is mocked or she is made fun of because of something that we don't even know the reality of. Unfortunately, assuming the worst, slandering, has become the norm, and that should not be the case. Have we not learned from the story of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha and the slander that occurred in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people assumed when she was seen with another man, people assumed something they should not have assumed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed very harsh language in the Quran, very strict language in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, why didn't the believers think the best thoughts in themselves? Why didn't they do that? ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ نَفْسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. They should have thought the best things. Why did they say the worst things and they spread it like gossip? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us that our hearts should be thinking pure thoughts of other people. Even if we see two people that should not be together, we see somebody exiting a store he should not have been in, we see things that might outwardly look suspicious, our religion says we read in the best, we think the best, and we do not spread the faults of other people. Even if they are confirmed faults, we don't spread them around for no reason. Have we not learned from the Quran and the Sunnah? We all know of the incident in the seerah when Usama, the famous young man whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved, when Usama was pursuing one of the people on the battle who was a pagan who was fighting against Islam. And right at the last minute, the pagan turned around and he shouted out, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah." On the battlefield, with no escape, he turns around and takes the shahada. And Usama executed him. News came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Usama was the most beloved of the young men of all of Medina. Usama had been born literally in the house of Khadija, raised up in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was considered like a son or a grandson. His father was the adopted son that Allah then abrogated adoption because of Usama ibn Zayd. That Usama. Usama was the most beloved. He was called Hibbun Nabi, the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard, he called him in public. His face was bright red with anger. And he said, "Is this true what I have heard?" Notice he verified. You always verify. "Is this true what I heard? Did you execute a man after he said the kalima?" And the Usama, being on the harsh end, if you like, he made the excuse, "Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah," he simply said it to save his life. He was on the battlefield, he's about to be killed. He didn't really mean it. And at that stage, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? "Did you open up his chest and examine his niyyah? Did you know the reality? You have husna dhan. Even when a person is about to be executed on the battlefield, you still think the best thoughts, subhanallah. If there's any a moment where you should not have husna dhan, you would think it is right here on the battlefield. If there's any an opportunity where we should say, we're not going to listen to this person, he's going to lose his life. But even then, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry at Usama. And Usama famously remarked that, "I was so embarrassed, I wished that I had embraced Islam on that morning so that at least my excuse would be, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't know any better. But because I am who I am, I didn't have that excuse." The point being, the seerah shows us from beginning to end that the default, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, we think the best of our brother and sister. We do not read in. We always assume, and much less not just the assumption, we never spread rumor mongering. We never say something about them. Even if it might be true, we do not speak about it unless there is an actual dire need, which is not the case in 99% of our daily affairs. Dear brothers and sisters, the reality of our social media and of our exposition culture and of our gossip mills that run is that we have forgotten the norm of decency when it comes to interaction with other people. The norm of covering up the false, assuming the best and then covering up the worst. This is our religion. We assume the best, and even if something is confirmed, so-and-so did something with so-and-so, so-and-so drank this, so-and-so took that. What business is it of yours to go tell other people, to go gossip? Do you not know what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? "Whoever covers the faults of his brother or sister, Allah will cover his faults on the day of judgment. And whoever exposes the faults of his brothers and sisters, Allah will expose and embarrass him, even if he is taking refuge in the sanctity of his house." Do not follow the faults of other believers, O Muslims. Do not make it your lifeline to find out what is the latest gossip, who said what, who was seen with what, who did what. It's not your business. If news comes to you, interpret it in the most positive manner. And if you must, even then, comment on that which is just and true, and do not allow your animosity, your hatred, to drag you beyond what is truthful. Have we not learned in the seerah as well? There was a famous incident in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a man was known to be a drunkard. There were drunkards even in Medina at that time. These sins are rampant in all of human society. He was a sahabi, constantly getting drunk and constantly getting punished in public. One time, one of the companions got angry at this man and he said, "Have you no shame? Every time you're brought here, we have to punish you. May Allah's la'na be upon you." The Prophet ﷺ was quiet in the corner. He's being punished. He deserves to be punished. At this, the Prophet ﷺ got angry, not at the drunkard, but at this senior companion who invoked Allah's la'na upon this sinner. And he said to this senior companion, do not help shaitan against your brother, meaning he's already in a difficult situation. Why would you make it worse? Do not help shaitan against your brother. Okay, he's a sinner. Okay, he is being punished. It is his just punishment. But do you have to go beyond this? Do you have to invoke Allah's curse, embarrass him, humiliate him? Do not help shaitan against your brother. And then notice, and this is one of the most powerful examples of having good thoughts of other people. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, in a society where hardly anybody drank, in a society where, yes, it occurred, but who amongst the scene? None of them drank. None of them drank. It is almost an unknown crime. What did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say in defense of this regular drunkard? He said, for wallahi, I know that this man has a love of Allah and his messenger as well. He has a good side as well. I know he's a drunkard. I'm not defending the drinking. But did you have to invoke Allah's curse? Did you have to humiliate him in public like this? Did you have to make the situation worse? Did you side with shaitan against your brother? You should have been merciful, kind, compassionate, embraced him, made dua for him. Instead, you invoke Allah's la'na on him. So the Prophet ﷺ got angry, not at the drunkard, but at the senior companion. And he said to him, why did you side with shaitan against your brother? And then he said, for I swear by Allah, I know that this man also loves Allah and his messenger, along with his drinking. You know, when a person commits a sin, we are all sinners. Don't they also have a good side? Don't they also have some good that they're doing? Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Everybody who regularly prays and fasts has some good deeds as well, along with those sins. So why don't we look at that as well? Even when we must make a declaration, even when this punishment is taking place, don't make the situation worse by embarrassing, by exposing, by rubbing it in. That's not the etiquette of our religion. Dear Muslims, Ibn Sirin, the famous student of Abu Hurairah, remarked, and with this I conclude my first khutbah, beautiful phrase. He said, anytime something reaches you about any of your brothers that you don't understand, find a way out and have some explanation of why he did it. And in case you cannot have anything in your mind, then assume maybe my brother has an explanation that hasn't occurred to my mind. Maybe I haven't thought of the reason why he would be doing this. Always think the best thoughts of your brother or sister. And if you do so, dear Muslim, not only will your tongue be free on the day of judgment from any sin, but also even in this world, you will live a more comfortable life. You will be at peace, my dear brothers and sisters, having your heart full of animosity or hunting for the faults of others. It's not good for your own psyche. Have a pure heart, have a good heart. Think the best of other people, and you yourself will live a beautiful life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness, you as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, al-wahid al-ahad, al-samad, al-ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad wa ba'du. Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Avoid most evil thoughts, most suspicion, because some of it is in fact sinful. Notice Allah says most and not all. And therefore in the second part of the khutbah, I will quickly point out there are caveats. Yes, we think the best thoughts of people. That is the default, that is the norm. But we are not fools. And the Prophet ﷺ told us to act wisely. And Allah says, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ, take precautions. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the believer is not stung from the same hole twice. The default, we think good of everybody else. But we don't need to think good of convicted criminals that are swindling us. We don't need to think good of those who have track records that are constantly doing evil things, and their evil is well known. So husna dhan applies to the default amongst our brothers and sisters. But when the context clearly indicates that we have run out of any excuse, when the context is obvious that a person is swindling people one after the other, or there's a predator that is abusing the trust of the community, or there's somebody who is doing something that should not be done over and over and over again, then in this case, we do not have any patience, and there is no husn al-dhan. And in particular, dear brothers and sisters, even though this is a whole topic altogether, but it needs to be said here as well, that of those whom we have run out of husn al-dhan for, are those small group of scholars, small group, who have a reputation of supporting tyrannical regimes. Constantly, over and over again, they give fatwas that are conducive to the power of the people that they are supporting and on whose paychecks they are. There is simply no excuse, no husn al-dhan for a scholar that legitimizes killing people in masajid. There is no excuse for scholars that are giving fatwas that support royal families and the interests of royal families against the interests of the ummah itself. There is no excuse for so-called ulama who are attempting to normalize relations with the apartheid Zionist regime of the Middle East. Wallahi, these are not people that we have husn al-dhan for. There is no excuse for supporting the interests of a royal family against the interests of the ummah. And track records speak volumes. And when a quote-unquote scholar has consistently danced to the tune of his masters, then with all respect to other ulama, we have to speak out. The scholars have to speak out against those other scholars. And we say point blank that any scholar who has sold his dignity and sold his ilm to the highest bidder has betrayed the scholarly integrity and the ulama class that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised. And these ulama are the minority, so don't extrapolate all over. But the point is that husn al-dhan does not apply when the track records are clear and when there is no excuse anymore. At that point, Allah says in the Quran, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن, not all. At that point, this is of that we can say, it is clear that this person has forgotten the interests of the ummah. And that's something that was on a case-by-case basis. We seek refuge in Allah from that type of corrupt knowledge and that type of leadership. Brothers and sisters, the khutbah today was very simple. In your day-to-day life, if you hear something, or you hear of a scandal, or your family or friends, something happens, think the best thoughts. Make an excuse. And our scholars give a very quick point plan. First and foremost, if it's not your business, don't get involved. Your thoughts and your tongue, avoid it. Secondly, if it is your business, then ask directly. Go to the source. Like our Prophet ﷺ said to Usama, is this true? Is that what you did? You go to the source so you hear the perspective. Thirdly, when you find out, then you don't have to spread to other people. You cover it up. And fourthly, even if something needs to be said or done, you do so with wisdom and justice, as demonstrated in the hadith of the drunkard, that you go as much as you need to and don't go beyond that. If we follow all of these protocols, these 4 points protocols, brothers and sisters, then inshaAllah ta'ala, we will be living a better and purer life, and we will be living a cleaner life, and our hearts will be pure, our minds will be pure, and our societies will be pure. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for that purity. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tad'a fi hadha al-yawm bi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma afir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lilladhina amanu, rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma man aradana aw arada al-islam wal muslimin bisu'in faj'ghilhu bi nafsihi waj'al tadmirahu fi tadbirihi ya qawiyyu ya aziz. Ibadallah, inna Allah ta'ala amarakum bi amrin bada bihi bi nafsihi wa thanna bi malaikati qudusi wa thallatha bikum ayyuhal mu'minun min jinnihi wa insi, faqala 'azza min qa'ilin 'alima, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik wa an'im 'ala 'abdika rasulika Muhammad wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ibadallah, inna Allah ta'ala ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkuru Allah al-'azima yadhkurkum wa ashkuruhu yazid lakum wa ladhikru Allah ta'ala akbar wa aqimis salah.
Ya man ajabat du'a Nuh fantasar wa hamaltahu fi fulkika al-mashhul. Ya man ahala an-nar hawla khalilihi rawhan wa rayhanan biqawlika kun.